Well, good morning to you on this Blessed Resurrection Sunday service. And I hope you and your family, wherever you are in the world, have been rejoicing in the good news that the Savior has risen. And because he lives, we can live forevermore with him in glory. Of course, Resurrection Sunday is a period of bittersweet feeling and emotion for the child of God, because we think of the bitterness of the cross, what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to pay that terrible price. But on the other hand, our focus is on the triumph of the resurrection and what it means for us as individuals, that because he lives, we no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to fear the judgment to come, because he lives. We will live with him forevermore and have a body like unto his body. It reminds me of the story of the Norwegian fisherman who went out in a storm with his two sons on a fishing boat. And in the midst of the storm, they could see nothing. And they thought that the waves would drive them onto the coast and crash onto the rocks, because there was only a little narrow way to get in to where they had left, navigating through some treacherous rocks. And suddenly they saw a light on the coastline, a huge light, and it lit up the whole coast, and they were able to see through the darkness of the storm to the route to safety, and they made their way to a place of safety. But as they came back to their home that night, tired, wet, but thankful that they had escaped death on the rocks, they met the mother and the wife coming with the other children. And she said to her husband, "We've had terrible news to share with you this evening. A terrible thing happened, that when you were out on the sea, a fire broke out in our home and burned the whole house down and all our possessions." And the husband says to her, "Well, it wasn't bad news for me." He says, "Because that fire saved our lives. That fire lit up the coast and guided us all the way home." So in the midst of one loss, they gained so much more by that fire. And really, it's a similar thought with the resurrection of Christ. In the midst of the horror and the sorrow of the cross and the sacrifice of the cross, it lit a light to show us the way home to glory, the way for forgiveness, the way to have our sins forgiven. And this Resurrection Sunday, I want to speak for just a short time on the last enemy that we, the child of God, have to go through. Louis the 15th was the king of France in the 18th century, and he was so terrified of death that he passed a law banning any mention of the word death in his presence. He banned even the memorials to death in his presence, and he thought by not talking about it, not seeing any remembrance of death, that somehow he could escape. But of course it didn't help in stopping him having to cross the river of death. And you know, there are three great questions that every person must answer. Question number one is this: where did I come from? That's a good question, isn't it? Then the second question we have to answer as humans is, why am I actually here in this world? And then the third question that perplexes the human mind is this: where will I go after I leave this world? Now, the first two questions are important, but the third question is the most important, because we are already here and we're already alive in this world. But the third question pertains to a question about a subject that we need to solve while we're still in this world. There will never be a time when you will not be When you leave this world, you'll go somewhere else. The only question is, where will you go and how to prepare to go? And man really is the only creature who knows he is going to die. Man is the only creature that can prepare for death. You see the animals going into the slaughterhouse. They go in happy. They have no notion of death. They have no understanding what will happen at death and what happens after death. But man does. And the Bible tells us that man has a great fear of death and a great enemy to cross called death when we come to the end of the journey of life in this world. And there's just a number of thoughts I want to leave with you this morning. And you've heard me speak on this subject before. The first thought is this, the reality of death. Reality of death. If you look at verse 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is very blunt with those who are listening. And I'm going to be very blunt with you this morning, because he says, for as in Adam, all die. Every one of us who comes into this world, born of the ancestry of Adam, born sinners, all of us have to die. And the Bible doesn't sugarcoat that. It doesn't say, well, as in Adam, we can all sort of pass away, or we can all depart. No, the Bible puts it in a very blunt way. As in Adam, all die. If you're related to Adam, if you're born of the as a descendant of Adam and Eve, you will die in this world. So death isn't a possibility, it's a certainty. Sometimes we use the term, if I die. Really, we should use the term, when I die, because death is universal. Death is inevitable for every member of the human race. Death is inescapable for every member of the human race. The Greek poet Euripides made this famous quote, and listen to it. Death is the debt that we all must pay. Death is the debt that we all must pay. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. God has put death, the inevitability of death, for you and for me in his divine calendar. And it's a very personal thing, because it's not just something that occurs in other people's lives, but it's something that will occur in our lives. And you know, many people try to not think about death, but not thinking about it doesn't mean you can escape it. Many people do all kinds of things to try and delay departing in death. They pop the vitamin tablets. They try to eat healthy. They take exercise. They invest in expensive medical treatments, health insurance and medical insurance. And they do everything they can to limit the probability of dying young. But even if they die in old age, they still die. Death is inevitable and inescapable. And death, of course, is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young or old, black or white. It doesn't matter what your race, your language, your social status. It doesn't matter how tall or short you are. Death will come eventually to us all. Death runs in families. Doctors die. Nurses die. Scientists die. Paupers die. Beggars die. Everybody meets in the graveyard. But then there's a second thing we have to focus on this morning in this brief message. Not only is death a reality, and the Bible doesn't sugarcoat that, but there is this great fear of death in the life of every person born in this world. In fact, the Bible puts it this way. There is no peace, listen to the words, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace, saith God, my God, to the wicked. Everybody deep down, no matter how much we try to refuse to recognize it, no matter how proud we may be when we are confronted with it, everybody has a fear of death. I was reading recently how the great news reporter and interviewer, Larry King, he grew up a Jew, but he became an agnostic, and he was telling in one of his reports how he is terrified of death. He says, every day I get up, I read the obituaries, and I wonder, is this my last day on earth? And how to escape, how to deal with the fear of death. In the Bible, we're told that there is this fear of death. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, it says this, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also," that's speaking of Jesus, "himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy them that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So the Bible makes it clear that unbelievers have this great fear of death. They're terrified. Maybe they can't sleep at night sometimes. Maybe when they're at a funeral, it sparks something in them. And they try as best they can to ignore it. If you go to a funeral today of unsaved people, often they tell jokes or anecdotes to try and deflect the attention of the listeners from the corpse lying in the casket. Some will take to the drink. Some will take to the festivities afterwards to try and deepen down the effect on their conscience of the reality of death in their midst. And there are many things people fear about death. They fear dying alone. They fear dying in a painful way. They fear what might happen after they die. They fear what will come in terms of God's judgment. They fear meeting God after they die. They fear the unknown. And death is the ultimate unknown for a sinner. And they fear death because of their sins, what they have done and their guilty conscience. So death is a reality, but death also has a great fear attached to it, particularly for the unsaved. But then the third thing I want you to notice is this. God has taken power over death for the child of God through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in answering the question of what happens after we die, where we will go, what we will experience, we really only have two sources. We have man's guess, man's opinion, and we have the Word of God. Those are the two sources. Now, if you simply base it on man's opinion, well, then you'll never come to any certainty. It'll feed your imagination. It will make you even more afraid because man has no idea, just guesses, just theories. But if you turn to God's Word tells you what happens after you die. God's Word has precious promises. God's Word speaks of one who has overcome death for us, one who has broken the power of death for the child of God. And we're told in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So death is going to be destroyed. There is one who has power to destroy death. Now go back to that verse we read in verse 22 of the same chapter. Because I only read the first part of it when I spoke about the reality of death. It says, "For as in Adam all die." But then there's a little comma. And it adds this, and because of that, what comes next? You and I can smile, can rejoice here on Resurrection Sunday. It says, "Even so in Christ." Now notice, those in Christ shall all be made alive. In other words, Jesus Christ has the power over death. He's the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one who has broken the power of death. And in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, he became the first of many by him conquering death, by him coming out of the tomb. He then represented all his children, and those who are in him will rise with him. You know, sometimes you stand, and in a job like mine, you often stand around grave sites. And as you're standing there, the loved ones are weeping, sorrowful and mourning. And you look down on the casket, and people look at that situation and they think, well, we're in a terrible place. We're in a place of death. We're in a place of sorrow. We're in a place of loss. In fact, we're in a place of eternal loss. And nothing could be further from the truth. Because if you're standing there at the graveside of a loved one who is with the Lord, you are standing not on the grounds of death. You are standing on resurrection ground. Because that place is the place that one day they will burst out of the grave. Up from the grave he arose with a triumph over his foes. And one day we will burst out of the grave in the same way that Christ came out of the grave. And we will come in the same power and with a new body like unto his body, a perfect one. One that will never be destroyed. One that will never decay. One that will never die. One that will never be subject to temptation and sin. So, when we talk about death and the power of death, for the child of God, it has no power. It has no ultimate control. All death does is usher us into the eternity of glory. That's all it does. It's just a gate. It's just a door. That's all. But then, we have to notice this as well. Christians have always faced death with confidence because of this. You know, when we are heading to a grave to have someone buried, there's a sign over the grave area called a cemetery. Now, the word cemetery is from a Greek word, komatirie, which means sleeping place. Because for the child of God, death is resurrection ground. The burial is just a sleeping place for their bodies until the great day of resurrection when they will come out of the grave and the soul which is in heaven now will be united with this new body and they will come out to live with Christ forevermore. But then there's a second area that God has taken away the power, the sting, the fear of death for the child of God, and it's this. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised not only to break the power of death for us, and he has, not only to give us a new body like unto his body, and he will, but he has promised this, that all through the journey of life, even to the end of the journey of life, he has promised, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. And you know, the psalmist said this in Psalm 23, when he was contemplating death. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Death is just a shadow, just passes over you, if you're a Christian. And you have no reason to fear it, because the one who has been with you all these years, the one who has saved you from your sins, he says, I will be with you right to the very end of life. That's why the Apostle Paul had no fear of death. In fact, he looked towards death with confidence. And he said this, listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. He said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Death's just a door, he says, into a glorious eternity. It's just a bend on the road that takes you out of this world into the next world. It's an enemy, yes. It's the last enemy. Yes. And it's not an enemy that will destroy you, because the one who rose on Resurrection Sunday all those years ago broke the power of death for you, and he is now with you every step of the journey of life. Now, having said all of what I said today, I am aware that there are still Christians who fear death. And you know what Jesus said in John 14? He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." There's an implication in John 14 that many Christians are troubled, and they shouldn't be. And Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid, because I'm with you. And I've broken the power of death. And you and I have to face death with either fear or with faith. And the child of God must face it with faith." Old John Knox, he was lying on his deathbed, and the devil came to him and began to assault his mind with doubts and fears, and whispered in his ear, "You wasted your life. You're going to die. Die as a fool, and die and go out into an unknown eternity." John next called to his wife, and he said to her, "Bring me the Bible." And he said to her, "Turn to John chapter 17 and read the chapter where I first cast my anchor and found faith in the Savior." And as his wife read to him, John Knox, the peace of God flooded his soul. And he said to his wife, "I'm ready to go. God has filled my heart and my mind with fear." And you know, that's the best news of all for you and I. We will face death. We will come to the end of the journey of life. But if you're a Christian, the wonderful news on Resurrection Sunday is this: it all ends well. You know, the children love to have that little ending in their stories, fairy tales, and they all lived happily ever after. Well, you know, if you're a Christian, that is no fairy tale story. That is no fairy tale. That is no mythical story. Because if you're a child of God, no matter how hard it is here on earth, it'll all end happily ever after. And you'll go out into God's eternity. And Paul said this, listen to it, at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. With this, we'll close. He says in verse 55, well, let's pick up with verse 54. "So when this corruptible body you and I are now in," oh, how true that is. And every time you look in the mirror, you discover this body is decaying. Every time you get up in the morning, the bones creak and the joints feel uncomfortable, and the facial expressions and your skin and your hair tell you you're getting old, you're wearing out. The journey of life is heading just one way, and is not in a good way. So this corruptible body, this decaying body, which is more and more susceptible to disease and decay as you get old, he says, "This corruptible shall have put on incorruption." This old body, when you die, will be replaced by an incorruptible body on the resurrection day, the great resurrection day. "And this mortal shall have put on immortality." The body that you put on will never die. This body we have now is like a coat that one day will die. Absolutely guaranteed. It's inevitable. It's inescapable. And he says, "Then shall be brought to pass the saying," the promise, "that is written." He's quoting here from the scriptures. "Death is swallowed up in victory." Death has been defeated. And then he says this, "O death, where is thy sting?" Where's the pain in death? There isn't any for the child of God. "O grave, where is thy victory?" The grave is redemption ground for the child of God, is resurrection ground for the child of God. "But thanks be to God," verse 57, "which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You almost can hear Paul shout, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord," as he writes these words. Nothing to fear, nothing to be scared of for the child of God, because death has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christians should never fear death, because death is not the end of the road for us. It's just a bend in the road that takes us out into a glorious eternity. You know, at the end of the Bible, there's one of the most glorious statements of eternal future for the child of God. Listen to these words in Revelation 21, verse 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." What a wonderful verse. Everything will change when you leave this world forevermore. Each of us in this room, each of us who are listening to this message, has an appointment with death. Make no mistake. And that appointment is getting closer every hour, every day, every month that passes. But there is a cause to rejoice. Because he lives, we will live. Because he has conquered death, we will live for him forever. So we don't fear death, because death, at least physical death here for us as Christians, is not the end. It's just the beginning of a wonderful tomorrow. You know, in the past, the early church members, when a beloved brother or sister was being buried, they brought them to the grave, and instead of mourning, they declared, "Today is the beloved saint who died's birthday, because it's their first day in heaven forevermore." And they would sing and rejoice as they stood around the grave, even though their hearts were heavy for the loss of that brother or sister. They would say, "No, we must rejoice, because it's their birthday, their first day in heaven." Now, the fact of death, the fact of the reality of death, should of course have a sobering effect on us in how we live here on earth. If you're here and you're listening to me and you're not a Christian, you should be terrified of death. Because death is not a door into a brighter hope for you, a brighter future for you. Death is a door into a lost eternity for you. Not far from where I am at the moment, there's a little church, and it has an old graveyard. And on that old graveyard, it has these words. It says, "Consider that ye here worship in the presence of him who seeth your actions and will shortly be your judge." Wow, what a statement. Let me say it again. "Consider that ye here worship in the presence of him who seeth your actions and will shortly be your judge." Each one of us in this room, each one of you listening to this broadcast, each one of us will cross the barrier of death. The only thing we don't know is when. Each of us is just a heartbeat away from leaving this world and going out after from this world into the next. We may hope that we will live to our 80s or 90s, but it may not happen. It may not happen. Life on earth is finite, true, but life is so fragile here on earth. Don't make the mistake that so many make of assuming that they have long to go. All of us are going to leave here, and all of us are going out to eternity. So the real question is this, as I bring this together, is this. Is not, will I live forever? Because everyone will live forever, in heaven or in hell. The only real question to focus your mind this Resurrection Sunday is this. Where will I live forever? Where will I live forever? If you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can say, "I'll be absent from the body, but I'll be present forever with the Lord." Many years ago, a musician, Joe Webster, suffer greatly from depression, suffer greatly from a fear of death. He had a friend called Dr. Sanford Bennett, who would try to come and visit him regularly to encourage him and to bring words of comfort to him. Now, Joe Webster was a Christian. Dr. Sanford Bennett was a Christian. One day, Dr. Sanford Bennett heard how his good friend Joe Bennett was extremely depressed at that time. And he came to see him and he said to him, "Webster, what's the problem now? Why are you so discouraged?" And his friend says, "It doesn't matter." He says, "Because it'll all be fine. It'll all be right by and by. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed." But he says, "I know that one day it will be all right by and by." Dr. Sanford Bennett said, "Let's sing and encourage ourselves in the Lord." And as he went to take his instrument to begin to play, suddenly these words came to him and he wrote them down. Words of encouragement. And the words went like this: "There is a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there." And the chorus went on to say, "In the sweet by and by, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore." And Sanford Bennett played that for his good friend Joe Webster. And it brought great encouragement and lifted his downcast soul to suddenly remember there's a place over there that the Father is waiting to greet us. And it will be all right in the sweet by and by. Yes, the last enemy to face is death. You have to face it. I have to face it. And yes, as an enemy, it's something not to take lightly. But for the child of God, it's something we can face with faith, not fear. It's something that we can face with confidence and say, "This last enemy will not defeat me. This last enemy, I will get the victory over. Not because I'm cocky or self-confident, but because the Savior on Resurrection Sunday in that tomb outside the city of Jerusalem broke the power of death and became the first fruits of the resurrection. And because he lives and broke the power of death, he has given to me, his child, everlasting life, resurrection life. And I can face death, not with fear, but with faith." May God bless this message to your heart, and may you sing with rejoicing, "Up from the grave he arose," this Resurrection Sunday. But may you also sing, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." May you also sing, like Dr. Sanford Bennett sung, "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore." We may never meet on earth again, but we will meet in heaven if you're a child of God. Are you looking forward to going? Are you looking forward to that great reunion up there in the glory? This Resurrection Sunday, take time to thank the Lord. Take time to say to the Lord, "I want to give my life to thee. I want to serve thee. I want to serve thee in a better way than I have been serving thee before." May God help you to do so. And have a very blessed Resurrection Sunday with yourself and with your loved ones, wherever you are in the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this, thy word. We thank thee for the challenge of it, but we also thank you for the encouragement of it. We thank thee for the triumph of the cross, the triumph of the tomb, when Jesus rose victorious over sin and death and hell. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone for the child of God. Encourage our hearts, comfort us and strengthen us with thy word, thy promises, thy assurances. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May God be with you. May God bless you. And may God encourage you on this very special day of Resurrection Sunday. Thank you.